this is why the cattle low, but the bulls make trouble for the herd, because even the shepherds are guilty. Joel chapter 1, verse 18, from the version of Yours Truly from 2003. That's, of course, the inspired word of God. And that's the translation of Yours Truly from that year, 2003. That's our daily scripture for today, little children. And the Ark of Your Word to the Orient Express now is the article that we've been studying. And we're going to resume in that endeavor today. But first of all, I need to adjust. Yeah, there's going to be an interesting thing happen here when we get to this table. It's a consonantal abjad, but I have to select it all or do something to make it disappears. When the video is reversed, it disappears because it's written not as a picture, you see, but as something else. It's some kind of a graphic. What do we call a vector graphics or something? I'm not sure what it is, but it's not a normal illustration, so I can't reverse the video on it without making it disappear. It reverses the background, but doesn't reverse the text, and that's why it disappears. That'll be a problem we will encounter on our way here. I'll try and figure out what to do about that before we get there, perhaps. But today we've got a couple of paragraphs. Don't take these paragraphs too seriously in terms of the knowledge involved in all of this, because it's not like I really understand all of this stuff. We're in chapter 10, paragraph 2 now, part 2 of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. By the way, there's a form of magnesium that improves cognitive function. Did you know that? The deluge, as we determined, happened in 3282 BCE. The earliest purpose of writing may be supposed to be that of the writing of numbers, for the purpose of counting the days or material objects, the simplest mark being the one. And this supposition is tested, we propose, by the numbers of significant dates, and specifically their mathematical relation to 4922 BCE, as the year in which Kainan was born. That would be in the genealogy. Being of descent third from Adam, Adam was created first. His son is Seth, whose son is Enosh, whose son is Kainan. Now this is the first Kainan, not the one who was born after the deluge, who was the son of Arpachshad, not that Kainan, but the Kainan who was the third in descent, or fourth, inclusive, in descent from Adam. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kainan, or Kenan in some translations. The deluge gives 4922 minus 3282. Let's look at that. Well, yeah, I've got the calculator here. But we need to be careful. Keep it visible in my video. 1640 is the answer, but let's start with the question. 4922 minus 3282. It's 1640. Now that number we just said yesterday was in the BCE time period. That's year one of the Hyksos. 1640 BCE, so that's remarkable in that regard, but that's because that's 108 years before the expulsion of the Hyksos, and that depends on the number 108 being correct, which it might not be. So the 640, because we don't really know that number with any confidence or, you know, definitive certainty, we can pretty well say that in the case of the Hyksos, we're not exactly sure about the 1640, but in this case, we do have 1640, and that equals, when you divide 1640, well, let's do it the way it's done here, 40 times 41. just multiply it out, and that gives 1640. Both 40 and 41 have been important in our earlier studies as numbers go, as far as numbers go. For the Exodus, now the Exodus date is 1493 in our chronology, so let's start with Cainan again, the birth of Cainan, 4922 minus 1493, that is 3429, and now we have 27 times 127, that's 3429, so that's the time from the birth of Cainan, that makes, he's the third from Adam, that makes him the great-grandson of Adam, that Cainan, right? Because Seth was the son of Adam in the descent line of the line that ended with the Messiah, but it went through Noah in the patriarchal line or lineage of male descendants. So we have Adam, Seth, Enosh, and Cainan. Enosh was the grandson of Adam, and Cainan was the great-grandson. That's the Cainan we're talking about, the great-grandson of Adam. So from his birth in 4922 BCE, that's a long time ago, so we arrived at that birth date using the ages of the patriarchs at the births of their sons. That's how we arrive at that. From the Septuagint. That's how it's obtained. So, so using the 4922 and the 1493, the second number of which, the 1493, that is, was obtained by calculating back from King Solomon. And basically, all dates are generally calculated back, just like the 4922 was. It was calculated back from the ages of each succeeding patriarch. But we had to go from 1493 back 430 years, where we have a gap in our understanding or knowledge of the specific generations, although we don't entirely. But, I mean, we have the descent line that goes back all the way to Jacob and all the way down to the time of David, but it doesn't go through David himself. That 22 generations that's mentioned in 1 Chronicles 6 and 33, I think it is. Let's look at that. So we do have a lineage. It's important. I don't have the application open yet. Hang on. There we go. Here we go. Let's pop it up. There. So let's put this back. So if we go to 1 Chronicles. Six and 33. You're going to see Heman, the singer, the son of Joel, the son of Samuel. Now that Joel is the son of Samuel. That's not the same Joel who is the son of Pethuel, who is the Joel who wrote the book of Joel. So it's a different Joel, but Heman is the name of the man, and son of Joel, son of Samuel, son of Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Eliel, son of Toa, Zuth, Elkanah, Mahath, etc. You can see that if you count back, there are 22 generations mentioned. There are 22 generations all the way back to the son of Israel, Levi. And Israel is, of course, Jacob, and that's, there are 22, we can calculate, we can find out from this list that there are not 32, but 22 generations. Let's count them. From Heman, we go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21:22, without reading them all explicitly, which we could do also, but I don't know if we have time to get into all of that. But it's there, written out. Every name is given in those 22 generations from that lineage, which tells us that there were 22 generations in that time period from Jacob down to the time of David, which is mentioned in verse 31 here, and during whose time He-Man was the singer mentioned there. So during the time of David, all the way back 22 generations to the time of Jacob. It's an important lineage because it shows us how much time did pass during those years that are sort of mystery years from the Exodus in 1493 back until 1923, when Joseph became the ruler, the second in command of all of Egypt. And that is important because then we become certain that we know when Joseph was born, because he was 30 years old in that year, 1923, which is our year exactly for the time when he became second in command of Egypt at the age of 30 years. So he's 30 years old. We add 30, we get 1953 for his birth, and then we know when, how old Isaac was when Joseph was born, which was, or sorry, how old Jacob was. Yeah, when Joseph was born, he was 91. And we know how old Isaac was when Jacob was born. He was 60. And we know how old Abraham was when Isaac was born. He was 100 years old. So we keep adding back. And that's how we got back all the way to Cainan and his birth in 4922 BCE. So this 27 times 127 is what is the time period between the birth of Cainan and the Exodus date. It's 27 times 127, which is 3429 years, 3,429 years. Now, both 27 and 127 have properties which make them important. And on the right, we have a table here, table 9, which shows the births from the birth of Cainan until the birth of Mahalalel. There are 170 years, which is 10 times 17. From the birth of Cainan to the birth of Jared, we have 16 times 21 years, 336 years, that is. And then we have 498 to the birth of Enoch from Cainan's birth, and from Cainan's birth to the birth of Methuselah, we have 664 years, which is 8 times 83, 498 being 6 times 83. And so on. This is a long list in the table here of all the births all the way down to the deluge. And then we have the deluge in 3282 BCE. That's our deluge date. Then we carry on. We have the birth of the second Cainan was exactly 1,777 years after the birth of the first Cainan. That's fascinating. 1,777 years, precisely, is the time that elapsed. So there's that number 777 in there, which is definitely a divinely oriented number. So what else is notable here? Let's see what we have. Well, I haven't even looked at it recently. We have to look at it recently. We have to look at these things. The last one, let's look at that one. Thera was born 54 times 49 years after the birth of Cainan, and 49 is 7 times 7, which is divinely factored, and but with two factors of divine number 7, but also 54 was the age I was when I wrote this. So we've got the table with all those numbers. In considering these numbers, we look at number properties in order to attempt to examine any pattern in the numbers. As for Mahalalel, Mahalalel. 170 is divisible by 17, by 2, and by 5. For Jared, 336 is divisible by the divine number 7 and by factors 2 and 3. And is a 24 gonal and a 113 gonal number, a Harshad number, an untouchable number, and has also been said to be the number of dimples on an American golf ball. Don't ask me what a 24 gonal number is, or what a 113 gonal number is, or a Harshad number, or an untouchable number, because I don't know what those are. But anyone could look those up and find out what they are. And I should, if I had time, I would do it, too. I'd be glad to look it up and find out. But these are just, every number has characteristics like this. There's nothing special about these things, although for them to have a lot of different things like this, that is more, you know, more unusual. Then, you know, I mean, some numbers have much more to be written about them in that regard, with regard to their special properties. Now, Arius, this is interesting. He's the one who understood the doctrine that was, I'm trying to think how to put it. Let's see. He didn't believe the Trinity. He rejected the Trinity. That's what I want to say. Arius rejected the Trinity. And in so doing, well, we could look up what he believed, but we'll have to do that some other day, I think. But he was an important figure because he allows for the idea that Jesus is the Son of God and not part of a Trinity. His teachings, and people who believe the Trinity are completely engrossed or ensnared or whatever you want to call it, and trapped by that teaching, and they can't break free of it no matter what. So they even claim that Arius believed the Trinity, but they say that he believed the Trinity some other way, so a different version of the Trinity, because they can't escape the Trinity. I can't explain it any other way. There's no way that he believed the Trinity from my viewpoint. It's impossible to say that he believed the Trinity because I don't believe the Trinity, for one thing, and because not everybody believed the Trinity. That's just a nonsensical or untrue statement, at the very least. And it's just a very subjective thing. It's like people who use drugs, they think everyone uses drugs. That's just the way it is. That's what they think. That's what happens when you allow your mind to be bent by something. You think everybody else is bent in the same way. You might not think that everybody else... I'm not saying that you think everybody else is using the same drugs or anything like that, but if you do something, you sort of think that's the way the world is. So if I believe the Trinity, which I don't, then I think that the rest of the world believes the Trinity too. Because you see things the way you are. You don't see it as it is. But Arius here, he's a very remarkable and important Christian because he didn't believe the Trinity. Now, he passed away in 336 CE in Constantinople. Just a minute here. Excuse me. The same year, 336 CE, a date for the Nativity was documented in Rome. There, held as December 25th. Now, by the way, tomorrow is winter solstice, which will be the beginning of the return of the sun, right? And December 25th happened to correspond also in the Roman religion, pagan religion, to a feast of the return of the sun, I believe. But the Christian tradition about December 25th is not necessarily connected with that at all. It's a totally separate thing. It's just that they got lumped together at some point by the Romans. But concerning the number 257 for Shem, which is another number, 257, let's look for that. 6 times 257 is 1,542 years, which is the number of years after the birth of Cainan when Shem was born. That 257 for Shem, concerning that number, there are, according to Kirkman, 257 topologically distinct octahedral graphs, whatever that is. In the case of Arpakshad, there are 821 regions maximum into which 40 lines divide a plane, noting the number 40. Now, Arpakshad on our list here, and I'll show you where I got all these numbers from. 821 was 2 times 821 is 1642, which was the number given for Arpakshad there. Now, look at this. If you click on Virtue Science, it's a website which gives all these properties of numbers. So this is where it comes from, right? And you can look up a decagonal number, for example. Where does it mention it? It gives all the decagonal numbers right there. 1, 10, 27, 52, 85, 126, 175, 232, 297, 370, 451, 540. I mean, if I had time, this would be fun. Just to see what I can learn about numbers. I wish I did have time. Maybe I will find time, but that is the website, Virtual Science. Virtual Science. If I cleaned up my thing here. I've cleaned up my thing here. Yeah, good. Now, these numbers, you can investigate a lot of different stuff on here, on this website, Virtue Science. But to get the details, you might have to research independently about what a decagonal number is, for example. Maybe you'd have to find out by doing specific research, right, on that. But that website, Virtue Science, is quite an interesting one. I found at the time of this article. Now, Cainan was born, this is the second Cainan, 1,777 years after the first Cainan, and the year 1777 CE saw three events in the world of mathematics. Just a piece of trivia here. First, C.F. Gauss, later, quote, prince of mathematicians, end quote, was born in that year. Second, the imaginary unit I, which is the square root of minus 1. Of course, negative numbers always become positive numbers when you square them, so the square root of negative 1 is an imaginary number. Because if it were a number that was squared, it would not be negative. So it's imaginary. It's called the square root of minus 1, right? It's called I. It was used for the first time in a memoir by Leonhard Euler in that year, 1777 CE. And in that same year, 1770 CE, Johann Lambert proved that pi is an irrational number, died. So he died in that year, 1777. Johann Lambert, who proved that pi is an irrational number. I know only 50 places of the number pi, if I can still remember them. 3.14159265358973238462643832795028841976939379375100. Those are the first 50 decimals of pi that I memorized when I was in university in first year, which was, well, I don't know what year it was in. It was either 1975 or 1976 when I memorized that. When I went to university in the fall of that year, 1975. Now, Reu, the patriarch, whose son was he? Let's see what we got here. He's Peleg's son, Reu. Right, he means, his name meant friend. Reu, at 2,304 years after Keanu, is 16 times 144 years after the birth of Kainan, a total number which contains no factors other than 2 and 3. That's rather interesting. As to Nahor, 151, look at Nahor, 17 times 151 years after the birth of Kainan. 151 is centered decagonal, 15 gonal, 25 gonal in mathematical terms, while Psalm 151 is canonical in the Eastern Orthodox Church, a goat's natural gestation period is 151 days, Bacardi 151 rum is high-proof, dark, aromatic rum, and the Statue of Liberty is 151 feet base to torch. Tiras 2646 has two divine factors of 7. And I, at the time of writing this, was aged 54 years. And at the time I wrote this, this is written in 2011, when I was 54 years old. When you add 1957, my birth year, to my age 54, you get 2011, don't you? Might be worth just doing that. 1957, that's the year I was born, plus 54, 2011, that's when I wrote the article. So indeed I was 54 years old at the time of the writing of that article, which we've now completed our study of for today. That's all we needed to do today. It's fascinating to look at these numbers and see what we can learn. Why do we do that? Well, we wouldn't do it if we thought our numbers were wrong. So it's because we think our numbers are somehow correct, right? By faith. We believe our dates are right, and that's why we do all this math, just to find out more about it. That was one of the characteristics of the green chronology, or the greenealogy, as I call it, as we've been calling it all along, the greenealogy, the blessed greenealogy, was, that is the characteristic of it, was that we really felt strongly about the dates being correct, and because of that, even though they were very ancient dates, because we felt they had some proof that was obtainable, that we had already found, that would give us confidence to a very high degree that we could say these were the right dates, these were true dates, even though they keep on changing as we study more. A little bit they change, some of them, but some of them haven't changed much at all, of course. Like the deluge date in 3282 was one that, and the date of Adam, and the date of Solomon's temple, none of those dates have changed. But because we had some confidence in those numbers, we thought, let's do some calculations. Like, one of the calculations I did, I said, let's add up the digits of these numbers. Like, 5550, you add the digits and you get 15. But you add the digits of 15 and you get 6. And then you take 3282, add those digits, you're going to get 6 again, right? 3 plus 2 plus 8 and 2 is 10, which is just the digit 1, plus 0 is 1. So 1 plus 3 plus 2 is 6 again. And then Solomon's Temple 10:14. Is 6 again when you add the digits. So they always added up to 6, those dates. What about the year 1255, which is the next date in the sequence after Solomon's Temple, when you add 2268, better show that. 1014. We have to subtract it because it's on the other side of the common era. Doesn't matter what the negative sign, whether it's negative or positive, it doesn't matter. It's 241, but it's not going to be 241, is it? Let's see. 1255. You know, it's just good. Well, the difference, wait a minute, hang on. No, that's not what I wanted, right? I wanted this calculation. 1014 minus 2268, which is our special number. That's where we get the 1254, but you have to add one more because when you're going through the turn of the common era, there's no year zero, so that means you go 1 year further. So you get to 1255. But the digits of 1255 add up to 5 and 5 is 10, which is 1 and 0 is 1, right? So it only adds up to 1 plus 2 plus 1, which is 4. So that's a different number, right? And then if we add another 2268, we get 3523. Let's do it. 1255. Let's do it more explicitly. 22 plus 2268, 1255 plus 2268 is 3523. Add those digits. 2 and 3 is 5. 5 and 5 is 10. 10 is 1 plus 0, which is 1. And 3 plus 1 is 4. And that's the same number we got when we added the digits of 1255. I haven't reflected yet on what the consequence or significance is of the numbers after the deluge. I mean, excuse me, after the turn of the common era, adding up to only 4 instead of 6 before the turn of the common era. What might the significance of that be? You see, when we have more time and when we can reflect on that, we might come up with some really interesting insights as to what's going on or what Jehovah wants us to learn, because Jehovah allows all these miraculous things to happen where we make discoveries that we can't explain. For example, that number 2268, how I was able to find a way of deriving the number 5 from that number 2268. Okay, I'm going to have to edit this video, but that's it for today. It's December 20th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1706 hours Canadian Eastern Time. And thank you so much for listening and watching. And I'm glad you watched and listened. And I'm Ward Green. Join us again. I love you very much. This is Sissy and this is Star. In my behalf, saying bye for now. That was, by the way, the Orient Express, the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, that is, Chapter 10, Paragraph 2.